Good job. Good job, everybody. That was wonderful. And good reminder to us of the truth that He transforms our lives, that God, through Christ, does that for us, and He's continually working in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. The Bible promises that He who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Having taken the Lord's Supper, sang of the wonders of God's love and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, having heard that song, I just want to go ahead and really start off this time that we have together with an invitation for anyone who's lost here today to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can think of God as one who requires a great deal of us before we can be saved, but I want you to know that what He requires of us is that we remember, realize that we have sinned and fallen short of His glory, that we understand that we can only find salvation through someone else's righteousness, and that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His Son, and that God is a God who forgives sinners through Jesus. I'm blown away by a verse that's found in Psalm 86, where in verse 5 it says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." And with that, I remind you and actually invite you, if you are not in Christ, if you do not know Him as your Savior, please understand that the God who is in heaven, who has sent His Son, testified of His Son, that in Him we have eternal life, that God is ready to forgive you of your sins through Jesus Christ. He's ready to forgive, and He is abundant in mercy to all who call upon Him. And the Bible has told us that when we have heard that message of the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, buried, risen again on the third day, according to the Scriptures, seen alive from the dead, when we've heard that message of the gospel, we are to believe it in our hearts, believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we are to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all those who call upon the Lord, none who call upon the Lord shall be ashamed, none who call upon Him. So, as that verse says, He is abundant in mercy to all those who call upon Him. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, who needs to be reminded of that, because we can get beat down in our sin. We can allow ourselves to start thinking that there's no way that God can save us for whatever reason we might conjure up in our minds. But brethren, do not be deceived. God is a God who is ready to forgive, and He is abundant in mercy. The psalmist also says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth." This is our God. This is our great God and Savior. If you take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the few minutes that we have together today, I'm going to be sharing with you from verses 1 through 5, even though we're really going to focus on verses 1 and 2, I'll read verses 1 through 5. The title of this message today is What to Think About Ministers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I'll read it aloud if you'd follow along in your copy of God's Word. The Scripture reads like this: "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but He who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, then each one's praise will come from God. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts today. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we rejoice in You, God our Savior. Father, I thank You that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, I thank You that You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon You. Among the gods, Lord, there is none like You, nor are there any works like Your works. Father, You've created all things and You have as well redeemed lost sinners through the gospel of Jesus. There are no works like Your works. Father, I thank You, O Lord, that You are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Father, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, though You are the same, we change. We forget. We draw back. We forget our God. And Lord, our nation in which we live has forgotten her God. This month is a stark reminder of that. Lord, I pray that we, Your people, would be like righteous Lot, whose souls are vexed because of the sin and the abomination that is promoted in this country and that is glorified. Father, I pray that we as Your people, each man and woman, boy and girl, a part of this congregation, as we have opportunity, not just this month, but everyone, that we would be a light, that we would speak truth, that we would be merciful as the God who has saved us is. And Lord, that we would not compromise on the truth of Your Word, but be steadfast and immovable in it. God, I pray that You would use us and give us courage and boldness to live for You every day. I pray, Lord, You will forgive us of our sins. And I thank You, Lord, that You do through Christ. Please use Your Word to build us up. Please, Lord, let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even today from what we hear from 1 Corinthians 4. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What to know about ministers? We need to get right into this. And the first thing that we'll see from this text is ministers should be considered in two ways. This is found in verse 1. In a day and age where pastors and preachers, there's such a thing as called a celebrity pastor or celebrity preachers. It's pretty common these days. But really, when we think about the man of God, the minister of God, he is to be considered according to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, in two ways. Now, this is significant because Paul's been dealing with this for the first three chapters, and really, it bleeds over into chapter 4 as well. But he's been dealing with the Corinthians having the wrong view of men, which led them to a wrong view of Christ. So we see in verse 1 that first of all, ministers are to be considered servants of Christ. And then the second thing that we see in this text is that ministers are to be considered stewards of the mysteries of God. When you see the word consider right there in verse 1, it's a word that means to calculate, to think about, to believe. One dictionary termed it this way. It refers to the process of reasoning or calculation, or the logical result arrived at by such a process. Let me give you some examples in ways that this is used in the New Testament. In Romans 3:28, the Bible says, "Therefore we conclude," there's the word right there, "therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." In Romans chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "You also reckon yourselves," that's the word again, "reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God." And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, Abraham concluded that God was able to raise his son from the dead. So, Abraham concluded that. He calculated it. He considered that to be the truth of the situation. And so here in 4:1, Paul says, "Let a man so consider us." So any man. It doesn't matter if it's the Corinthians or if it's the Galatians. It doesn't matter if it's the Jews in Judea and in Jerusalem or the saints who are in Ephesus. Let a man, any man, man upon man, so calculate, so reckon, so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The word that is found there for steward is one that is translated in the New Testament in various ways. In Acts 13:5, it's translated assistant. In several locations in the New Testament, it's translated officer. And in Luke 4:20, it's translated attendant. So in other words, it's someone who's not calling the shots, but it's someone who is hearing the command from others, and then he is responsible to carry out that command. More than one commentator defined them as an under rower. Those who are in a galley slave, and they are rowing the oars, and they receive commands from above, and they're told what to do, and they follow the commands. That's the idea here with the word servant that's found in verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants. So Paul's saying here that himself or Peter or Apollos or any of the other apostles who are going out and preaching, whether they be sent by the Lord or sent by the church, that's what an apostle is, a sent one. No matter who they are being sent. They are given a command to go and to preach by someone who is superior to them. But the second thing you see there is the word stewards. They're stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, as we look at that, servants, they're servants of who? Of Christ. So who are they receiving their command from? Christ. They're serving Christ. The second part, though, stewards of the mysteries of God. Steward here is a compound word, oikos, which is house, nomos, which is law. So it means that they are someone who is in charge of a house or a city. They have a charge over that. They are a steward or a manager of it. Again, one dictionary said it literally refers to a household manager or a steward, to someone who manages the affairs of a master's house and cares for its occupants. That's the responsibility of a steward. If you take your Bible, I'd like to cite a couple of places for you. If you turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 sort of combines both of these words. Luke 12, both of these concepts. Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42, I'll read 42 and 43, and I think you'll see it pretty easily. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" Well, there's the word steward. "Whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season." All right, so you see in that the responsibility of this household manager, this steward, is to watch over the household of his Lord and to delve out the portion of food that is needed for the occupants of the home. Then in verse 43, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." All right, so the one who's a steward is also a servant, and those roles overlap with one another. Just as we see in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, "Let a man so consider us servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So we see that combined here as well in this parable of Jesus. Now, there are several places in the New Testament where Paul would talk about being a steward. But if you'll turn back in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, in verse 17, we'll see in chapter 9, verse 17, we see an example of this where this is used. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. And there are several that I could give you, but I'm going to refrain from doing so. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. Here Paul's talking about the importance of his ministry in preaching the gospel and the necessity that's laid upon him. For he says in verse 16, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And then in verse 17, he says, "For if I do this willingly," that is, if I preach the gospel willingly, "I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." So, in other words, Paul says, even if there's times when I don't want to preach the gospel, I must because I have been given a stewardship. The Lord Christ has given me management over this responsibility. Therefore, I must carry it out. You can think about your own life. If you are a person who goes to work every day, in a way, you have a stewardship to be there, to do your job, and to do a good job to the best of your ability. Now, there may be days where you do not want to go to work, but yet you get up and you go to work. Why? Because you have been given a stewardship. There may be those of you who stay at home and care for the home. There are days when you do not feel like taking care of your responsibilities at home. But yet, you are given a stewardship. Therefore, you carry out your task or your responsibilities. Paul is saying this about himself, Apollos, Cephas, those who have been given this responsibility by the Lord. They are stewards. And what is it they're stewards of? What does it say in the Bible or up on the screen? Stewards of what? Mysteries of God. Mysteries of God. In the Bible, in Mark 4, verse 11, Jesus talked to the disciples and told them that they had been given the ability to understand the mystery of the kingdom. In Ephesians 1, verse 9, we find there the mystery of His will. In Ephesians 3, verse 4, we find there the mystery of Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 32, we find the great mystery of Christ and the church. In Ephesians 6, verse 19, we find the mystery of the gospel. In Colossians 1:27, we find the phrase, "the mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." In Colossians 4, verse 3, we find again the mystery of Christ. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 9, we find the mystery of the faith. And then in 1 Timothy 3:16, we find the mystery of godliness. What is a mystery? The scripture tells us in Romans 6:25, it is a mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. These mysteries of God. And it really stuck out to me that it says mysteries and not mystery. It is a plurality, which is why I read to you that list of references in the New Testament where it talks about the various mysteries that the apostles are setting forth to the church, have set forth to us in the written Word of God. And they were stewards of these mysteries to proclaim them to those who they had the opportunity to proclaim it to. The mysteries of God. And we see in the second point that the ministers have one requirement as stewards. And it's pretty simple. Not difficult at all in verse 2, for he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what?" What does it say in verse 2? That one be found what?
Faithful.
That's exactly right. Be found faithful. Because they are the ones who have been given the commandment by their Lord, by their superior, by Christ. And then they are therefore to carry it out. Point number 3 that we're going to look at next week, as well as going back to point number 2, is that ministers are judged in 3 spheres. So we've seen so far today from this text that ministers should be considered in 2 ways: servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. But we also see that ministers have one requirement as stewards, and that is to be found faithful. Finally, we see that ministers are judged in 3 spheres, and we'll look at that next week. Here's some points of conclusion for you. Ministers need to be viewed aright as servants and stewards, not as lords. Lest we get our focus on men rather than on Christ. Our boast is Christ alone. Whether it's Paul or Apollos, or whether it is a pastor or an elder in a church, these men are nothing more than servants and stewards of Jesus Christ. That's it. They are men who are sinful, who miss the mark themselves. They are not lords, but only servants and stewards of God. And we see lastly this, that stewardship goes beyond the minister to each one of us. Because that word is used here as well. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good, what? Stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, each one of us has received a stewardship as well. In the gift that has been given to us from Christ, we've been given a stewardship to minister that gift to one another for the glory of God. Today I want to invite you, as we've had a wonderful service today in many different respects through our singing, the Lord's Supper, the reading of Scripture, preaching of the Word, and I hope, been reminded of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that there is a God in heaven who is the only true God who saves sinners. If you feel today and realize that you are in your sin and you need a Savior, there is a God who in heaven who is ready to forgive you? Will you come to Him through Jesus Christ and find that forgiveness today of your sins? Let's pray together. Oh Lord, it is true. It is true, God, all that we see in your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth. I thank you, Lord, that we as a people value your truth and want it. Lord, though we need your grace and mercy, if we will obey the truth. Lord, I pray that we, everyone, would be like those who are not running from the light, but Lord, that we are coming to the light that is found in Jesus Christ. Like the Father who received back the prodigal son with open arms, Lord, you are a God, you are the God in heaven who receives us to yourself. And I thank you, Lord. I pray for anyone not in Christ today that they will run to Jesus by faith and repentance, knowing and believing in their heart that you've raised Jesus from the dead. And Father, being willing to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, may Jesus be more and more and more to us day by day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.